You know, as we're singing that song, I'm just reminded of something Pastor Fergus McIntyre always says. And I'd love you to say it this morning before Pastor Stacy comes to speak. And it's this: my head gives my heart permission to receive. My head gives my heart permission to receive. See what Stacy comes to share in a moment. It might move some things in our head, but she's not speaking to our heads. She's speaking to our hearts. So I really encourage you, just you might need to repeat that a couple of times in your head while Stacy's preaching. My head gives my heart permission to receive. Because I know Stacy's heart is that you're going to win. Stacy's heart is that whatever you've come in this morning, whatever issues, that the chains would be broken. If you're flying on top, that you just continue to fly on top. And so, get ready for an incredible word. Why don't you put your hands together and welcome Pastor Stacy this morning.
Just where you are this morning, why don't you close your eyes? Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here, present in this place this morning. Lord, give us eyes to see that which you need us to see and ears to hear that which you need us to hear this morning. I thank you for the peace of heaven this morning to be in this meeting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can take a seat this morning. Before I get into my message, I just really want to, I know they're not here, but I love your beautiful pastors, Pastor Bruce and Julie. Aren't they just the most, like, edible people? That sounds really funny. But they're just, what I love about them is that they make people feel like family, don't they? They have this incredible ability to love on people that just, you feel like, I was saying in the women's conference, that I feel like a grafted on part of their family tree. But they have this ability to pull people in and just love on them exactly where they're at and make them feel like family. And I just want to honor them. I know they're not here today. They're in Merrows Park. But you have the most beautiful, brilliant pastors, and I want to honor them this morning. Also, just want to honor the team. Give me a wave if you're a part of the team. Oh, don't be shy and bashful. You're all like humble. Thank you for all you do to make this church what it is. It is an incredible place to be able to come every Sunday, hey? Band, you guys are exceptional, like far out. Thank you for leading us. Incredible worship this morning. Well, as Pastor John said, my name is Stacy LaGreca, and you'll have to excuse my voice. I haven't been yelling at the women, I promise. I started losing my voice randomly. I mean, it's not really that random if you think about it. I'm coming to speak at a women's conference on Tuesday. And I'm like, no, you shall not pass go. You shall not collect 200. I will not lose my voice before I'm speaking to all these beautiful women. You will not shut and you will not silence me. So even if I'm preaching like this, it's all good. But my husband, as Pastor John mentioned, he's down at speaking at Norwood this morning, and he's going to rip it up there. I'm really excited for him. But I just wanted to show you a quick photo of my family. Probably half of you have never even seen me before. So it's always nice to kind of get a bit of background and not just this random woman standing on stage. But this is my husband, Nick, my kids, Carter, who's 8, and Briley, who's 5. They're hilarious. Again, I said at the women's conference, Carter is like the most people person you will ever meet. He loves people on his first day of school. He felt ripped off because it was only half a day in kindergarten. And he said, we're walking across the oval back to our car and he's like, stop, mum, stop. I'm like, what is wrong? He's like, oh, mum, look at all my potential friends. He's like looking around and all the kids are playing, like he was just pumped. Whereas Briley, that's Carter. Briley's a little bit more like plays hard to get with her love, you know. But she's the sweetest little encourager. She will tell me so many times a day, Mum, you are so pretty. Like, I get out of bed in the morning. She's like, oh, Mum, you are just so pretty. I'm like, I love you. But she's the most beautiful little encourager. So that's my little family. Thanks, everyone, for showing them. But this morning, the title of my message as I get into it is When Love is a Sacrifice. When love is a sacrifice, you guys can finish. I'm so thankful. Thank you. When love is a sacrifice. You know, so many great examples through the Bible of love being a sacrifice, hey? And really, you can think of the greatest one is Jesus, how he laid his life down for us. But today, I want to look at the book of Philemon. Everyone's like, where is that? It's in the New Testament, just before Hebrews. But this book is written by Paul from prison to Philemon. And Philemon is a believer from Colossae and a slave owner in the New Testament. So I'm going to read it this morning from verse 8. It says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. Then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I'm sending him back, who is my very heart, back to you. So let's look at this passage. Onesimus was Philemon's slave who stole from him and he ran away. And back in those days, what he did was actually punishable by death. And Onesimus met Paul through his ministry. A lot of theologians say that they actually met while they were in prison. So the Lord caught up with Onesimus and that's where they met, in prison. And through Paul talking to him, he met Jesus. And so as a result, his life changed because he met Paul and he met Jesus. And I love here how Paul is arguing from a place of love. He's like, I could tell you what to do, but I'm actually going to appeal to you on the basis of love. There is so much authority when you do it from love rather than you must. And Paul is in essence saying here, as God covers and forgives sin, so should we. Not because they deserve it, but because he loves people. And he has also done the same for us. In verse 10 it says, I love how it says, and I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. You know, I love looking through the Bible and noticing where words are placed. It's not like my Onesimus, my son. It's my son, Onesimus. So he's putting first his title of who he is now. Let's keep reading verse 12. Sorry, from 13. I would have liked to have kept him here with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. I love the fact he says, any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. When love is a sacrifice, it actually costs you something. And that's actually when it is a real sacrifice. Verse 15, I love how it says, perhaps for this reason he was separated from you for a little while. But the actual reality is Onesimus ran away. He stole from Philemon and then he ran away. But he's softening it. And in the part where it talks about Paul's not only asking him not to punish him, but he's saying, oh, wait, I'll read a bit further. Wait one second, I'm getting ahead of myself. So if you consider me a partner, this is verse 17, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand and I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. How good's that? I do not wish, brother, that you may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. You know, here in that section, Paul's saying, you know, this is what Christ has done. He's paid the price. And he's saying for Onesimus, if he owes you anything, I will pay it back. And this is exactly what Christ has done for us. Exactly what Christ has done. And so Paul is saying to Philemon, I want you to do this because I want you to model this. And that sneaky part where he puts in, he's like, not to mention you owe me your very self. Like, it's like, drop that one in there. Well, my first point today of my message is when love is a sacrifice, this love is agape love. The Greek word for this sacrificial love is agape. In verse 9, it says, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. And I love this definition of agape love. An unconditional love is always giving and impossible to take or be a taker. It devotes total commitment to seek your highest best. No matter how anyone may respond, this form of love is totally selfless and it does not change whether the love is given, is returned or not. Isn't that powerful, that last part? This love is totally selfless and it does not change whether the love given is returned or not. That's like a big call. This is this type of love that Jesus gave for us. He sacrificed for us. You know, and this is the highest form of love that we're actually created to have, but also to give to other people around us. It's a love that doesn't keep score. It doesn't demand or hold on to rights. And I love that Paul is urging Philemon to do this for Onesimus. Why? Because he knew how good it would be for both of them. Not only Onesimus as a slave coming back to his master who he stole from and ran away from, not just for Onesimus, but also for Philemon to experience what it is to have this type of sacrificial love that no matter what has happened, I love you and I give my life for you. I hold no record of wrongs. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his love for us and then that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This just does something with my thinking, right? And this is how I know. Have you ever heard people say, no, I've got to get myself cleaned up before I come to church and I couldn't come in there like how I am now. You know, I've got to get some stuff right and then I'll come to church. Anyone ever heard that? No, it's wrong. Christ died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still messed up, while we still have all of our stuff. He died. So that says to me that we need to come to him with our mess. We need to come when we feel like we can't come. Because that's how he takes us. And that's how we'll be transformed, not by your own doing. Because I guarantee you, you'll keep stuck in that place until you let Christ into your life. 1 John 4:9 says, we love because he first loved us. I have this beautiful story of, it's a true story. And I was helping my boss at the time figure out her family history. And I found this, like, typed thank you, old piece of paper. So, like, it had been done by him. World War One Canadian. And back at that time, he was an aerial pilot that would photograph and go over behind enemy lines and take photographs of what it all looked like, so they could know where their everything was, pretty much, and where they know they could go, where they know they could hide, everything about it. So he would take these photos and then he would come back. And one day on a journey, this pilot, his name was Tom, he came down behind enemy lines. He knew he was a goner. The Germans would find him and completely gone skis. And he was prepared for this. And his plane came down, not in spectacular style, but just landed funny. And so he was able to get out. And he hid for 3 days, wondering whether or not he would be found. On the third day, he was found by this German farmer whose farm it was. He saw the plane come down. He didn't know where it had come down. And he'd been searching for him for 3 days. Now, he did not speak a word of English. And so Tom, who spoke English, spoke no word of German. So it was like communication. He was like, are you going to kill me? What's going on? And he signaled to him, come with me. I'm going to hide you. And so here this German hid this fighter pilot that was taking photos behind enemy lines, and he should have been killed for it. Yet this farmer went and hid him, gave him food. Now the farmer could have been shot if he had been found that he was hiding someone. So he was risking his own life. Anyway, because of the communication issues, he didn't know what was going on. Tom had no idea. And then until one day, another farmer came and he spoke English as well as German. And he said to him, look, I've come to take you into town. You can't stay here. The Germans know that you've come down and they're trying to find you. I need to take you now. Say goodbye. We're going into town. This next guy took him into town. He took him to a tailor. And the tailor hid him in his roof with his family. Here is another person laying down their life for someone that was an enemy. But they showed him such love and such kindness. And they said to him, we're going to get you out and we're going to get you home to your family. He was like, how are you going to do that? He's like, okay, here's the plan. I'm going to make you, this is hilarious, I'm going to make you a dress and you're going to need to wear it, because here, if you go on a train and go across the border, only the gentlemen have to have papers. The women and the children do not get asked for papers. They sit separately in the carriage. So if you get dressed up as a woman, you won't be asked for papers and you'll get back over into your country. And so here, Tom is like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm a Christian. And those two other people, they're Christians. We're all Christians and we want to help you. We believe in loving our enemies. And here, Tom was not a Christian, but he found the love of Jesus because of another person's actions. Like, incredible. To the point where the soldiers, the day before he was going to get dressed up as a woman and travel across the borders, the soldiers came in and they said to this tailor, we're looking for a German soldier. And they completely ripped apart his shop and they lived up top. He was not found by the grace of God. And he got out the next day and he wrote this story afterwards. And he never actually got to finish it because his next, he came home, he became a Christian, his family got saved. Like, just an amazing story. And he never fully got to finish everything because he went out on another mission. I'm not sure what the timeline was, and he actually passed away. But like, this guy met Jesus because of somebody else's sacrificial love. The Message version of Ephesians 3:19 says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask that with both feet firmly planted on love, that you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience its breadth, its length. Plumb the depths, the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives in the fullness of God. What a beautiful scripture. This is God's love for us. You know, this love is not just for us, but it's for us to experience and then give away to others. Give away to others. People need to recognize Christ in our life. There needs to be something different about us. He wanted here what he wanted modeled, and he's saying, I want you to do this because everybody else around you is looking to you. What are you going to do? Are you going to punish him for what he actually deserves? Or are you going to go above and beyond and bless this guy and take him back as a brother, not as a slave, but one better, a brother? I have this beautiful family that I've been reaching out to for quite a while now, actually. They were my old neighbors. So for five and a half years, I've been reaching out to this beautiful family. I had my daughter, Briley, who's 5, and the lady across the road was pregnant with twin girls. And so they were born 3 months before Briley, and then the girl next to her, which was actually her sister-in-law, 6 weeks after Briley was born, my daughter, her daughter was born. So we had this instant mother's group. It was brilliant. It was so fun. We'd always just hang out with our kids. We're all the same, you know, age bracket, and it was just great. And she was really funny. She has her husband who's like dready, like hardcore, like plays hard, you know, but I'm like, you're a big softy. Like, I love you. And this family was so like, you know, I'd walk down the street and, you know, and they wouldn't even smile. They wouldn't even like acknowledge me. And then I'm like, nah, I'm going after you. So I just, every day I'm like, hey, how are you? I had no idea what their names were. Hey, how are you? You know, I got the little wave. Bit after bit after bit, the girls were born. I went over with bags of clothes. They had twins. Bags of clothes, meals for them. And they were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm coming to bless you. Why? What's in it for you? I'm like, nothing. Like, I just want to bless you. They're like, okay, sure. And can I say, over the last 5 years, I have blessed their socks off. But they've seen the love of Jesus that is unconditional. And you know, I tell you now, they've faced one of the hardest situations in the last 6 months. Really hard decisions to make as a family. And who do they call? Not other family members, they called me. Stacey, what do we do? I just don't know what to do. I'm like, okay, let's pray. Okay, I'd like that. Okay. And you know what? God's hand, I tell you, when you step out and you love people, this generosity that we're talking about, the world does not understand, because the world understands give to get or get to give. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense. God's generosity, because he lavishes his love, that while we're still sinners, he died for us. And you know, in these moments, God's really been able to show off, because I've allowed myself to be used by him to show people love, the love of Christ. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay his life down for his friends. My point number three, through this sacrificial love, we see God's redemptive power. Let's look at verse 16. No longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and also as a brother in the Lord. You know, Onesimus was once a slave, but now he was a brother. God's redemptive power makes things better than what they were originally. Here, Onesimus was a slave. He ran away, he stole. So in one day, Philemon not only lost property, but he also lost a worker. He lost something. Something was taken from him. But yet God, in his goodness, turns all things around for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so he worked it all out for the good, that he got back something better than what he had originally. And that's what he's come to do for you. Where the devil has stolen, killed, and destroyed things in your life, things have been taken that were not fair. Injustice was done. But can I encourage you, when you go after God, you don't look to man, you look to God. In these times, I'm telling you, you will find the redemptive power of Jesus Christ in your life. Through his sacrificial love, he restores things for the better. I don't know what you're going through or what you're walking through, but today I want to tell you about God's redemptive power that is available for you. Why don't we close our eyes here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Now, this morning, you might be here. It might be your first or your second time. It may be your 50th time. I don't know. But today, something is missing in your life. I've been talking about Jesus' love, and maybe you've never experienced Jesus' love before. Today is your day where you can choose Jesus as your Lord and your Savior to come into your life and walk with you every day of your life. Choosing Jesus was the best thing that I ever did. Maybe you're here and you're another type of person that you once knew Jesus. Maybe as a child you went to church, your parents took you to church. But for whatever reason, you went on a detour. But you find yourself here today in your head and your heart. You feel a bit like, oh, a bit uneasy. It's because Jesus is knocking on your heart saying, I want your heart. I want a relationship with you. I want to love on you. I want to turn all things around for the good in your world. And you're thinking, I don't know how my situation is going to even turn around for the good. You have no idea what I've been through. Jesus does. Jesus does. And although you can't figure out how it's going to be better than what it originally was, that's not your deal. That's Jesus' deal. He'll figure it out. That's why you're not God. And thank the Lord for that. But today, you need to get your life right with Jesus. Or maybe you're a third type of person here and you just don't know where you will spend eternity. You need that assurance in your heart that when you die, when you go from this earth, where are you going to spend eternity? The way that you spend eternity in heaven with Jesus is not by being a good person, although that is a brilliant thing. It is simply by having Jesus in your life. If you're one of those three people that I've just talked about, I'm going to ask you in a moment just to put up your hand and we're going to pray a simple prayer that invites Jesus to come into your life. It's the greatest prayer that you will ever pray. And watch what happens when Jesus steps into your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you this opportunity here today to invite Jesus to come into your world. Those of you here today, I want you to quickly right now stick up your hand and say, that's me, Stacey. Stick it up high enough and long enough so I can see it. Who's there this morning? Thank you, Lord. Just put it up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You might be here this morning, and this message is spoken to you. Maybe you know, you need to know God's redemptive power in your life. Maybe things have been taken. Maybe your kids have decided other ways, and you're struggling in your heart with where they're going and the decision that they're making, because it's out of your hands, it's out of your control. Give it to God this morning and watch Him do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you can ever ask, hope, think, dream, or conceive, according to His power. Not what you can do, but His power. If that's you here this morning and you're just responding to my message, I just want to pray for you in your seat. But if that's you, I just want you to quickly raise your hand and I'll acknowledge it and then I'll pray for you. Thank you. Who else is there this morning? You're saying, I need to know God's redemptive power in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Who else is there this morning? So good. God, thank you. Let's just pray. I just want you to hold your hands out like God's going to give you a gift this morning. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. I thank you that everyone that responded here this morning, God, are walking through things that I think that you know about, that you love them, that you have a plan and a purpose for them, Father. And I thank you that those things that have been stolen from their life or taken or destroyed, Father, I thank you that they're going to see your redemptive power at work in their life, that you're going to restore it better than what it originally was. Lord, we thank you. I just love us all to pray this prayer. Maybe you didn't put up your hand to ask Jesus because for whatever reason you're a bit nervous. Let's just pray this prayer together that invites Jesus to come into our life this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming into my life. I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. I turn from them and I walk toward you. Holy Spirit, help me live every day with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. God, I thank you for today. I thank you that you seal this word in our hearts. Your sacrificial love for us to be able to give it away to others, Lord. We love you and we thank you for what you're doing in our world. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, we all said, amen.